The Gemara says in Sochem, and I've kufches in the days, Tan Rabbanon, Hakol Chayovim Ba'aba Kosus Halalu, Echad Anoshim Ve'echad Noshim Ve'echad Tinokos. That everybody's obligated to drink the four kosos of wine, men, women, and children. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Amar Yehuda V'chimato Elis Yesh L'Tinokos B'Yayin, El Mechalklam Kloyes Ve'gozim Be'erkesach Ve'eshelo Yishnu V'yishalu. The Yehuda disagrees and he says, even though normally we have a loch of chinuch on foktanim, but there's no chinuch on dalit kosos, because wine doesn't agree with them. Children don't like wine. And the Ran says because the wine is mazik them. So rather, what is the Yehuda suggests, rather than giving children wine, the Yehuda says that we should mechalklam kloyes ve'gozim kidei shelo yishnu v'yishlo, but rather we give them out nuts and candies so that they should be aroused, they ask questions and stay awake for the Seder, but we don't give them dalit kosos. So it's a little strange. I mean, where's the transition? And we understand that Yehuda thinks there's no dalit kosos for children because children don't like wine. Wine's not good for them. But how is this the substitute there for giving out kloyes for girls and giving out nuts and candies? So I want to suggest an answer based on something which based on a principle that I heard from the Rav, which I'd like to apply here. The Gemara says, very famous Gemara, the Gemara says, Shosem b'vas achas, if you drink the four kosos in succession, one after the other, let's assume that's what it means. What means you drank all of them at one time, one big cup. So, yidei yayin yotzi, yidei aba kosos lo yotza. So the Rashbam says, what does it mean yidei yayin yotzi? You did fulfill the mitzvah dalit kosos, because the dalit kosos has to be coordinated with the Seder, each kosos, the first kosos kiddush, second nagid, and so on. But you do fulfill the mitzvah of yayin. What does the mitzvah of yayin mean? So the Rashbam says, it means yidei simchas yotza. Because there is a mitzvah of samachta b'chagecha, so even though I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dalit kosos, but I did fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. From here we see that the mitzvah of simcha applies also to the night of a yontif as well. Shagasari points that out. So Tosis says, what's the habit? I mean, of course, obviously, you drank wine. What's the chiddush that you yotzei yayin? So Toy says that the Salka Daitach is Ho Vitikno Dalit Kosos Lo Nafik Mi De Simchis Yontif Elim Ken Yotzi De Abba Kosos. That one might have thought that I don't fulfill the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos, excuse me, the mitzvah of Simcha, if I also don't fulfill the mitzvah and if I don't fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha unless I also fulfill the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos. Why would I think that? So I heard from the Rav that you see from this, that the chiyuv of dalit kosos on the night of Pesach is a special mitzvah simcha, the night of Pesach, and that mitzvah is fulfilled through drinking dalit kosos shel yayin. And that's why I might have thought that I don't even fulfill the generic mitzvah of simcha v'samachta b'chagecha unless I drink the four kosos, so kamash run that the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha I do fulfill. And I saw, a friend of mine once pointed this out to me, that in the Sefer HaMichtam, at the beginning of Avraham Pesachim, he says it almost explicitly, that the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos is a separate mitzvah of Simcha, the night of Pesach. He says, Lo yifchasu be'aba kosos, la'aba kosos, shetiknu chacham, lasus b'leil zeh, v'lesmoach b'hem kineged avo l'shonu shel gula. He says, we're obligated to drink the four kosos, corresponding to the four Lashonish Geula, in order to have the smoch them, to have simcha with the dalit kosos. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Yotzei, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Zayin, speaks about how does one fulfill simcha. And the Rambam says, Shiva Shimei HaPesach, Shmona Shimei HaChag, on Yotzei, there's an obligation. To have simcha for chayvan, lios ben sameach for tov lev, to be joyous and of glad heart. Who ubonav ishtu bnei bonav, for afapi, then he goes on to tell us, and emma v'simach v'chagecha, afapi says simcha mu'ukan, he carbon shlomim kamosha on mevan the hilchas kiga yesh bechlal also simcha, even though the basic simcha is to have to eat shame simcha, but you can also fulfill simcha through other means. For example, ketzed haktana noslehem koyes vegozim umidonos, children you give them nuts and candies or other presents. V'anoshim kolehem begodim v'tachshitim noim, for women you have to buy new clothing or new accessories for yontif, each one kifim amono. V'anoshim okrim boshe v'shoshi yayin, she'ein simcha ela b'boshe v'ein simcha ela b'yayin. So from the Rambam you see that the Rambam says, how does one fulfill simcha for ketanim? The simcha is relative to each, you know, for men it's with wine, possibly yain, women it's new clothing, and ketanim, it's kloyes vegozim. Again, the candies and the nuts. So you see that the Rambam says that the way that we fulfill simcha for ketanim is indeed for kloyes vegozim. So maybe now we can understand Rabbi Yehuda's enigmatic suggestion, like, don't give them wine, they don't like wine, wine is not good for them, give them kloyes vegozim. What's kloyes vegozim going to be assessed to do for dalat kosis? But the answer is because the mitzvah of dalat kosis is a separate mitzvah of simcha, the night of Pesach, and therefore children who can't fulfill it through wine, so the substitute is what? Kloyes vegozim, because we see that the Lam Hilchos Yontif says that that's the form of simcha for ketanim. Indeed, the Lecha Mishnah, that Rambam, asks, we don't know the source for this Rambam. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that men, that the simcha for men is b'roilem, v'noshim b'roilem, the men is through yayin, and women is through new godim, through new clothing, in Babel it's one kind, colored clothing, linen clothing. But the Gemara doesn't mention how. So the Lecha Mishnah quotes in the Beis Yosef, he doesn't know the source of the Ram that you give out, that Kloyes vegozim is somehow the mitzvah simcha of ketanim. He says the Gemara says in Sochem Kadesh Yishalu, but where did the Ram get this, that this is the form of simcha for ketanim? So according to what I suggested, we understand why this the Ram borrowed this is the source for simcha, because indeed simcha, the dalat kosis is a form of simcha, as you saw in the Michtam, and therefore the kloyes vegozim, the reason it is indeed a substitute, the Ram understood, is because this is a form of simcha, and therefore the Ram borrowed that halacha to tell us that this is the simcha for ketanim. And it may be that this simcha, the simcha that we have of dalit, of the special simcha, you know, the simcha, the specific simcha that's fulfilled through the dalit kosos, is not restricted and exhausts itself only in the dalit kosos, but rather it's reflective that the night of Pesach is a special night of simcha. And that may be, Rabbi Reichman mentioned that the Ramban says the reason we say Hallel is because of the mitzvah simcha. Ramban says it's a derisive in the Sefer Mitzvahs. That may indeed be the reason why, according to the Masechet Sofim, there's a special machayev of Hallel the night of Pesach, because there's a special simcha the night of Pesach. Just in terms of what exactly Rav Chaim is meaning, in terms of what I heard from the Rav. The Rav said that Rav Chaim actually told everybody to say in the shul, in the Briska shul, to say Hallel, but he said Rav Chaim himself would sort of never say it himself. He used to talk to Simcha Zaligan learning during the Hallel. So maybe it's Eshel Chaim Shneim. I don't know that Rav Chaim actually said the Hallel himself. But Iker Din, he thought that one should say it. That's what I recall hearing from Rav. But that may be reflective more fundamentally of a special mitzvah simcha the night of Pesach. Remember, the Rav said, the Rav Chaim said that was the correct minig, and he said in the large, in the big shul in Brisk, they used to say Hallel the night of Pesach in shul. Fine. This is, I just want to expand on this a little bit. Rabbi Reichman mentioned that from the Haigong, that this Hallel that we say the night of Pesach at the Seder is not said as kriya, it's said as shira. It's not said as reading a text, but rather it's said as song and praise. And therefore we don't pronounce it bracha. What does Rabbi Gaon mean to say? This chav shira is because the night of Pesach, there's a unique obligation. Chayv adam lilos es atzmo, kilu hu, the Rambam gives us laharos, but lilos es atzmo, our text is, a person has to view himself as if he himself experienced the Exodus. He was there as a slave in Egypt, and he now, at this point, after the Rambam says, immediately left Egypt. And it's that perspective, and if a person experiences himself after centuries of oppression and bondage, he himself goes out of Egypt. So that's not the thing. That's what we say in the Haggadah, Lefikach. Therefore we have to say Halav Hodor. You know, it's that experience that makes it possible it's that experience that makes it possible to say this new kind of shir, this new kind of halal. It's not simply recitation of halal, but rather it's an explosive, immediate reaction to living through this historic event. It's not something ancient history. It's something that we're reliving right now. I think about that tonight because the Rav is famous for having said, you know, how during at his Seder, he remembers, I was just listening to a tape of the Rav today, he remembers that the Rambam sat right next to him at the Seder. You know, it wasn't just Chayv Adam Lilos es Atzmo. Part of what he wanted to communicate to American Jewry, and of course through the vehicle of the students who were sitting in front of him, whether it was in Maria Balabatin or those in his shurim at YU, or in the many shurim that he gave in Boston, all these different contexts, he wanted to communicate that sense of, you know, that the Rasola is not something, an ancient tradition that is passed on. These people, as we learn the Black Gemara, they come back to life. Abai Verava, the Rav, you know, is famous for saying that when he'd give the shiur, an old man would walk in, and there would be Rashi, and then there would be the Shach and the Taz fighting. I mean, at the top, by the end of the shiur, it was a very crowded room. So, you know, that's part of what he wanted to communicate, I think, to us, was this sense of Chayv Adam Lilos es Atzmo. And of course he did it because he was of course a master teacher. But you know, the skills that he had as a teacher, which were really without peer, were a reflection of an extraordinary soul, of an extraordinary personality, not just an extraordinary intellect. He was a great intellect. He was an intellect also, I mean, humbly must say, without peer. You know, in terms of the breadth and depth of his knowledge and all Chelkei HaTorah and his curiosity and his interest. But, you know, the reason he was so successful, so enormous, is because he was able to communicate, or he tried to communicate, sometimes to promote the fact that he wasn't as successful as he would want to have been, that this is how, you know, this is a new, this we ourselves are this link in the Nesoro. Abai Verava, Rekiva, you know, and even biblical figures, they were real figures to us. I've quoted many times, the Rav used to say that, you know, he didn't realize the Rambam had died till that Stolnik's made, I think it was the 750th anniversary or something, of the Rambam's death. Must be the Rambam's not alive anymore. You know, till then it never dawned on him. How could it be the Rambam's not alive? And I'd like to just speak about one other dimension in terms of the Seder that was reflective of the Rav. And that was, in terms of Talmud Torah, now I spoke at the OU convention, I spoke about the Rav in prayer, but there's a dimension which I left out completely, which really has to be mentioned, and that is prayer to the Rav, the real prayer, wasn't only the Shemoneh Esrei. It wasn't the Tefillah. The ultimate in prayer for the Rav was learning, was Talmud Torah. And for this, he quoted the Rambam. The Rambam, who is the Rishon, who says that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to pray each day, la'avdo zivadzim l'shem l'kechem, va'osil tavodo that when we speak about Avadzim Hashem Kechem, we speak of Avodah Shebelev. But the Ram's Avodah Shebelev did not only encompass Tefillah. And the Ram says, Hinei Yeshbo, when he speaks about this, you know, this universal, all-encompassing mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev, the Ram says, Hinei Yeshbo Yichud Acha Shu Tzivu L'Tefillah, V'Loshen Sifri Ula Avdu Zu Tefillah. V'Omu Gamken Ula Avdu Zu Talmud. Ula Avdu, to preserve God, is also, we pray also to learning. So, what's Abduhu b'Tolosso? You know, this Torah itself was an encounter with Shechina. And that you saw, you know, that was writ large on the love. You saw when he was engrossed in the Tosfos, or, you know, his favorite Rishon, the Ramban, you know, when he would break through a Melchemes that was, you know, was always, he always said the same thing, he's so terse, and he masters all the proofs, and he's so terse till he gets to his punchline, yeah. And he would be, I remember so many Rambans he would do, that he would just be just proud that he figured out the Ramban. And how he, you know, it was that sense, this communication between him and the Shekhinah. I remember I've quoted before, the Rav, I remember once that on the Yotzat Shia, he said, he was saying a Shia, and he said, when I was learning last night for transition, I felt like somebody's breath on my back, on my neck. And I was going through the sugi, it was the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah was saying, was bending over and said, what sucks to Rav Yoshe Be'er Megadem? You know, Rav Salvech, what do you say about this sugi? It was that sense, you know, that intimate connection to Shekhinah, which was, the Avodah Shebelev was expressed also through what? Through Torah. And this, you know, the Rav once said that, the Ram says in Hilchos Tefillah, I'm not going to go through the Rambam, but he has extensive yotzei about this, that there's a mitzvah of to say Birkas HaTorah every day, but there's a almost a redundancy in how the Ram quotes that halacha. The Ram says b'chol yom chayiv odom, first the Ram says hamashkin likol b'torah kodem sheyikra kriya shema Ben Kora Batorish Viksav, Ben Kora Batorish Viaper, Notul Yod Tchilu Mavach Shalosh Brochos, V'Acha Kach Korei. That the first bracha, the first of it says, if a man wakes up early, he hasn't said the Birkas HaTorah yet, Mams Perk Zayin Hichas Tchilu Lach Yud, so first he has to make the Birkas HaTorah. And then he goes on to say, V'Harei Zno Hashem Akeinu Os Tivei Sur Asecha, and so on. Then the Ram in Halach Yud repeats this. V'chol Yom Chayiv Odom Mavach Shalosh Brochos, Elu va'acha korech ma'at midivrei Torah. So no go on liklo bikos kohanim. The Ram just said in halacha yud that you're obligated to say the bikos haTorah, and he lists exactly what the bikos haTorah. Then he says, and every day a person's obligated to say these brachos, and you learn a little. A minute you say bikos kohanim, it's completely redundant. So the Rav said that there are two halachas here. One is the halacha that bikos haMitzvah are a matir. It's also to do a mitzvah without saying a bracha. It may seem counterintuitive. You're obviously obligated to do the mitzvah, but you can't do a mitzvah without first saying a bracha. The Ram says at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos also, Kishem Shem Mevochin, Alano Kech Mevochin, Al Mitzvah, seems to see that bracha is a matter. So one thing is, you're not allowed to learn. It's also Hanor. I mean, the Rav, I once heard from the Rav, he said, once me to say, Rav Chaim famously said that the bracha on Torah is not a bracha on the Kima mitzvah, it's a bracha on the Chesed Shel Torah. What does that mean to say? That's what women say, Birkas HaTorah. He said, what Rav Chaim meant to say is that it's a Birkas HaNenen, plain and simple. So, that's Hamashkin Lukov. You haven't yet said a bracha, because so you woke up. You have to say, you can't learn that. That's Halacha Nisurin. Then there's another Halacha of connecting Torah to bracha. That every day that a person has to say his Torah, the zakim of saying these three brachas, not because it's a matir. It could be it's a matir. He read it was Yotzi. He said the Birkas Torah, we woke up, maybe it was before daybreak, so that bracha extends till the next day. But a person is obligated to link the mitzvah bracha, these three brachas with Torah. What's that kiyum? That's not the halacha that bracha is a matir. What is that halacha? It's a separate kiyum of bracha with Torah. Why is there a kiyum of bracha with Torah? What is the relationship of bracha with Torah? That's the quality of shiva that's in Torah. It's not just the logic of the Torah. It's the passion and the emotion. That has to be linked with bracha. It's that quality of Torah that is avodah shebelev, of duhu b'toloso, of duhu that's also part of Torah. And that really we have also the night of the Seder. The Rav said that Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shana Santola Masa Baruch Hu, why do we pronounce essentially a Birkas HaTorah before the Haggadah? But it's also because the Haggadah is also song. The whole Haggadah is said on four kosos because it's said a Shiva, Einon Shiva El Alayayin. So the Talmud Torah, the Dorish Kola Parsha Kula, that's also a form of Torah. And even though I said a Birkas HaTorah that day, I don't really have to say another Birkas HaTorah. But this quality of shir, of song, of praise, this explosive quality of that the Haigon said that doesn't even require or it can't be circumscribed with a bracha in terms of the Birkas Hallel. That was something I thought, you know, when you learned with the Rav, it was an extraordinary quality that he had. First of all, the rigorous quality in terms of the halacha itself. You know, he said high standards. It's interesting to see as the Rav, through time, at least within our community, has become an icon. You know, he himself, I think, with some, maybe, I think he would cringe about thinking about, you know, all these different, especially this 10th year. Of course, we are obligated to do what we should do, but I'm just saying from his humble perspective. But, you know, he wasn't a fuzzy, sweet fellow. That wasn't him, you know, the descriptions and so on. You know, I lived in the transition. I was in the shiur for a very long time, about 15 years, but I was there from the transition from those who were there, you know, from his ferocious days to the much more mellow days. But that ferocity was because of a function of high standards of, you know, this is the halacha. That's one thing. That's one kind of Birkas HaTorah. The Birkas HaTorah, that's a matir. That's the halacha. But then there's also this quality of the shira of combining the Torah with bracha, which is reflected to the bracha makom baruch hu, the Birkas HaTorah that we say, as the Rav pointed out, the night of Pesach, because Pesach is a special night of Talmud Torah. And the reason I think it's a special night of Talmud Torah is this, and this was also reflective of the Rav. The reason it's a special night of Talmud Torah is because the Rav thought that it is impossible, and the Rambam says this, it's impossible, it's absurd to have Kabbalos O Malchus Shemayim without Torah. The Rambam, when he says, giving the mitzvah, Kabbalos O Malchus Shemayim, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, when he lists, you know, the different components, he says, the first parasha, Yichud Hashem, Vavoso, and then the Talmudo, which is mentioned in Kriya Shema, Mamkos HaShemayim, it's the great principle that everything else is dependent on. And therefore, Kabbalos O Malchus Shemayim is impossible without this quality, without Torah. And he thought American Jewry couldn't survive unless we made, you couldn't just produce Balabatim. He wanted to produce Balabatim who Tamir Chachamim, irrespective of what sphere of endeavor they went into in terms of the Parnoso, in terms of their focus. But they had to really have a real link to Torah. Otherwise, no one would survive. And to the extent that American Jewry has survived, to the dismay maybe of all the naysayers, to Look magazine, I met when I was growing up, that said, you know, predicted the end of American Jewry, is because the vibrancy in the Orthodox music and their link to Torah. And the growth of yeshivas, which was unexpected, really. I mean, you know, a demographer, a historian, a social scientist at the time, it would not have been expected. And the Rav played an important, not, he wasn't the sole player on this thing. There were, you know, there were others, there was Rav Kotlin, there was Moshe Feinstein and so on, but he played a critical role. And he played a role also in terms of, because of all the qualities that he represented in terms of his intellect and because of his being a master of many, many trades. He was Baal Malachas Havdai, as the Rambam says, was quoted as saying, you know, both in terms of his philosophy and mathematics, and he what he said resonated and gave credibility to a challenged Jewish community, Orthodox community, in the American milieu of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and 70s, when he was, you know, functioning. So, you know, when I think about the Rav on this, his 10th Yahrzeit, it's those qualities. It's not only the Birkas HaMitzvah that it's a matir, but it's the, first of all, it's the tremendous simcha that he, that of the learning with him, the joy that he had in terms of Torah, that avas haTorah, which was an extraordinary quality. Actually, Mr. Bierman's book, I saw a beautiful hesped by Rav Yaakov Weinberg, the Rosh Yeshiva of Nei Yisrael. And, you know, he speaks about that. He speaks very eloquently about it. That quality of, you know, the love of Torah that was just so infectious, and it was at such a high standard, and it was this link of bracha with Torah. It was the simcha of the night of Pesach that chayv adam lilos es atzmo ki lo yatzim mitzrayim. And in that, those qualities, he was, I believe, unique. I mean, it's hard to say that people are unique, but there are a few people who are just very special, and that was the Rav. He was, he was a man of historic dimensions because he had this, not only because he was so incredibly gifted. You know, it's like God just took all, you know, all these enormous talents and just poured it into one man. But it wasn't just, you know, this. It was this extraordinary mind was linked and fused with tremendous Avas Torah, which was a form of prayer, which was a link to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was his communication to Shekhinah. And you felt that this was a link to the Nesora. When we heard that, oh, you put out its journal, you know, which includes Divrei Torah from the Rav, B'Piyah Shmua, Reshech Lai, the editors of it. It was, to me, it was instinctive what we would call it. It was Mesorah, because that's what he represented. He was a genuine, this was a genuine Mesorah. And as we, you know, look back, the Rav used to say, even the Baruch Shem, after the creator of the world, you know, we understand things, retrospection is an important quality of understanding. As we look back now on his 10th Yahrzeit, you know, this was a special person, who, a man of extraordinary integrity and sensitivity and genius, but also of soul and commitment and you know, this link to Shekhinah, this quality of prayer that he had in Torah, that's something we will not see in our lifetime again. A person of those dimensions. And as you know, I see many of the Rav's Talmidim here. I think all of us had this same kind of experience I see from different times. Rabbi Golden, Rabbi Rashman. I don't think he didn't see the Rav, but his father saw the Rav. But many of the people who are here who had the same experience, Rabbi Feuerstein, Rabbi Rybak, I don't want to miss anybody, Rabbi Tavis, Rabbi Yudin, that, you know, I think we all had that same sense of camaraderie because we all had that wonderful experience, and I'm sure everybody here who was in this room who had one time heard the Rav, even one time, this was a quality that I noticed about the Rav in my own life, you heard the Rav one time, it changed your way of thinking for the rest of your life. And I believe this to be an historical fact, and no way to confirm it. I believe that the derech of learning of yeshivas, I'm not talking YU, I'm talking about in Lakewood and Chaim Berlin, was changed in certain ways because a few of them gone for the Rhine and came to a Yahrzeit share one time. And how they thought learning was enhanced Because and as my point is, the impact that he had, you know, we talk about the modern Orthodox community, that's not where it ended. It expanded way, way beyond that. Because everybody, you know, deep down, I believe, they knew the truth. You know, it sounds like a, you know, what's his name? Let's tell the truth. So, you know, his impact and influence was very, very extraordinary. And he wasn't the kind of person who went out, you know, he wasn't the kind of leader. I mean, there are different kinds of leaders. I mean, to be honest, he wasn't the kind of leader who, you know, led a movement. You know, the Rabban Kotler time was a very powerful personality. You know, he wasn't, that wasn't the love. The movement he led was, you know, in the context of his of the shiur that he gave, or you know what he created within the Baal Amos that he functioned in. The Vilna Gaon never walked out of it, barely walked out of a garret in Vilna and changed the whole world. So it was the Torah Tzmima that was in him that had that impact, and that's what we think about on this Hestetic Yahrzeit.